Well, if you see in your bulletin, you'll see that I have a title this Sunday. It's called Biblical Principles for Prosperity. And we're going to look at some principles. The Lord, we were dealing the last 2 weeks about soul prosperity, about getting our mind, will, and emotions. And one of the ways we do that is getting them in line is begin to look at the Word of God. And when you start to look at the Word of God and start to fall in line with what God's principles are, you'll be able to train your soul, bring your mind, will, and emotions into what God wants to do and not into the direction that we want to look at. Now, when we're dealing with prosperity, I'm not just dealing with money. But we're going to look at something this morning because dealing with the area of money, money can have a lot to do with your health, of how you deal with money. Have a lot to do with your health. And I'm just saying this going into this. This is one of our major problems. Health problems in America is over money. Money is why a lot of our health problems exist. This is why we spend so much money on health problems and can't fix them. And we're going to look at why. We're going to find out what makes the difference. It's because people are generally way offline of the principles that God established for people to prosper. God wants us to prosper in every area of our life. He don't want to just, it doesn't do you no good to have the money and then family life's all messed up, or you got money and you're sick, you're sick all the time, or you got, what does it matter? All those things, you know, it's to have a sound mind. You know, you can have money and living in fear. I mean, there's people that got loads of money and they live in fear all the time, worrying about their money, worrying about whether the money is going to see them through. Or I hear people all the time, they got money in the bank and there's things that they need, even things that they need to be spending money on. They don't know, oh, I can't spend it because if I spend this, what if I get sick in the future? Well, you're going to have to spend it on sickness in the future. Your mouth just said it would. So get ready to get sick. Get ready to get sick. And there's nothing the matter with saving up money. But your purpose for saving it has a lot to do with how your life's going to turn out. Why do you save it? Are you saving it to be a blessing? No, I'm saving it because I'm going to need every bit of it, because I'm going to retire and I'm going to do nothing and I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'll tell you, your soul will be required of you one day. It ain't one just for that guy back in the Bible who built the barn. People need to know this. We have a lot in our, a lot of Christians are following the same principles that the world follows concerning wealth. Are following the exact same principles concerning retirement and everything else. Well, are you going to have enough for your retirement? I surely will. I'm believing God. God ain't going to run out. It ain't going to run out. Faith in God ain't going to ever stop. But see, what people are trying to do, they're trying to set up enough to have so they don't have to believe God. I'm going to tell you what that's going to do. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your mind, your will and emotions. It's going to cost you your health. I'll tell you, my plans are this in the future, to trust God. That's my future. That's my great investment. Hallelujah. Is how to believe God and continue to believe God. Hallelujah. I want to be fruitful in old age. I don't want to sit down and go sit somewhere and not do nothing. And just say, well, I'm just going to live and have a good time. I don't want to go there. I believe in that fruitful in old age stuff. I believe still, you know, I look out here and it's amazing. I mean, there's people out here 70s and 80 years old working in industry, starting up businesses, doing some, making big bucks, while most of the nation's going and sitting down trying to find out how they can do less and get his money. Woo! Good preaching. Good preaching. How can we get their money? Well, I'll tell you what. We want to prosper and we want to follow God's plan. God's plan is prosperity does not stop at a certain age. And it don't start at a certain age. It's anytime you want to get in the program. Anytime you want to come to the program, you can be in it. Hallelujah. But understand this. If you quit the program and then come back, it's going to take you some time to get started. And sometimes it's too late. Hallelujah. Good preaching. We need to answer. We're going to look at some things today. One of the major scriptures that I use and we'll be using in these teachings, that is from 3 John, the first chapter. Verse 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." And we want to look, because this is the will of God. I don't believe that John wrote this down. This wasn't John's idea. I believe this is God's idea. I believe it is. John was inspired by the Holy Spirit to put this down. The desire that we would prosper in all things, that's God's desire. God's desire was for man. When God made man in the garden, God's desire was for man to be blessed. He put man in the garden. He said he put him in there. He created man to till the garden. In other words, he gave him a job. If you follow God, you'll get a job. Amen. There ain't no such thing. David said this, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their kids begging bread. I've never seen it. So we know there's a problem when that happens. And it's because people are living in unrighteousness. They're following the world's plan. They do things like the world does. They believe like the world believes. Therefore, God can't help them. Understand this. God can't help you if you'll follow the world's plan. He can't help you. There's a law. There's the law of sin and death, and there's the law of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, we were saved through the law of righteousness that's in Christ Jesus, but you can go live under sin and death. Most of the church world lives under the law of sin and death. Because if poverty, sickness, and things, and all this kind of stuff, you know, messed up minds and everything else, that's all under the law of sin and death. Now, you know, we're not throwing stones at anybody, but just tell you, you got to get out from under it. You got to start living in the life that's in Christ Jesus and get out from under the law of sin and death. You got to come out from under that. That law is what's working. There's principles that we have to follow in the kingdom, and they're not the principles of this world. The world doesn't follow these principles. The world doesn't live by these. These principles are contrary to the world system, and they're contrary to the unrenewed mind or the soul or the will that is looking, you know, for the easy way out. There's not an easy way out. You know, it's not an easy... There's certain things that you have to do to attain certain things in this life. You can try to skirt around it, you know. It's like today. Our whole nation works mostly at trying to skirt all the problems and everything. Don't want to face anything. Don't want to deal with nothing. Find an easy way to make things fixed. Get things fixed. And that's why we're in the trouble we're in. Is because we're looking for the easy way out. It's a mindset. It's like... I've always said this... Children are like electricity. They always seek the path of least resistance. We know that America is full of nothing but children because they're always seeking the path of least resistance. They never want to face problems. You will never grow up if you don't face problems, if you don't get things head on and face them. You don't grow up. You'll never grow up. So growing up, I don't know about you, I want to grow up. I'm not looking for problems. But I'm going to tell you, I know this, I'm in life, problems will show up. But I'm not going to be afraid of problems. Because problems are just a stepping stone to a greater glory. If you can overcome and step through problems, you can go to a higher. Until you step through your problems. If you got problems and you keep trying to skirt them, you forget it. You ain't ever going nowhere. You're going to have to deal with the problems. We've got to deal with them. You know, everything ain't fun to deal with. But I'll tell you, there's a victory to be had facing situations. You know, it doesn't matter whether you, any political party you look at or any group you look at, everybody, Abraham Lincoln, they consider he's always voted the president of presidents. The guy probably had more problems than any president ever in the United States. What made him great? He faced the problems. He was great because he faced the problems. He didn't back out. Man, I'm going to tell you what, I don't know if I'd want to run for a second term under that. Would you? But he was a man. And I'm going to tell you, I believe God could use him. I'm going to show him today. Show you today in this principle we're going to talk about. Why God could use a man like that. Why he couldn't use other men and put people in positions. Why he can't. He can't do it. Number one, understand this. This morning, Eileen read those scriptures about God's word. It doesn't return void. That doesn't mean what you say won't. What you say may just go down the toilet. It may not matter. It's God's Word. And so if you want to have faith, you have faith in God's Word and standing. And if you follow the principles of God, you can overcome. I want to look this morning at a principle. I want you to turn over to Luke the 16th chapter. And while you're turning there, I'm just going to read a scripture to you. Another one here in Deuteronomy 8:18. Another scripture that we've been using. It says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He has sworn to your fathers as it is to this day." God gives men the power to get wealth. Now, we're going to look at that. We want to see that because God is the one who gives man the power to get wealth. Hallelujah. And we're talking about wealth. Wealth means, you know, it's the whole thing. When we talk about prosperity, we're not talking about just, you know, having money in your pocket. Thank God. I don't know about you. I like to have some money in my pocket. And I do have some money on me, but I tell you what, I want a lot more money on me. But you need to understand, we're going to look at some principles, and if you don't fall in line with these principles, if you get money, you're going to be just like the world. If you got money, you'll be just like the world is. So we want to look at something, and looking how God rewards, we want to see some things. Now we look at Luke the 16th chapter, and in verse 10, it says this, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. Therefore, if you have been faithful in the righteous mammon, who will commit and trust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, I want to talk to you about this because we're going to talk about the principle of faithfulness. I want to talk to you about faithfulness. The Lord spoke to me to specifically teach on this. I have a series of things that I got that I haven't taught yet, but it's on prosperity. I got about 40, 60 pages of notes somewhere in between that somewhere of all kinds of stuff. And I thought, boy, we could teach some things, but God has some things He wants me to say. So, I mean, they were good to read over and look at, but dealing in the area here with faithfulness, and because we need to understand this, we're singing about more power. Understand this, when we got filled with the Holy Ghost, the power of God's in us. But you need to understand, Kenneth Copeland one time had a vision. In the vision, he was standing under a pipe and water was dripping down on him, just irritating him. You know, they used to, you know, use that torture, that drip water torture on people. They used to do it. While he was standing there, he said it was just downright irritating. This water just dripping down in his head. And when he would look up, it would drip in his face. And he was just irritated about this. And he said, "God, what is this?" God said, "That's your spirit." He said, "That's all I can get to flow through you. Enough to be irritating." Ha, ha, ha. Well, don't laugh at him. How are you on this thing? We got a lot of irritated Christians today. And I know why they're irritated. Because God can't flow through them much. And they don't even know that's the problem. Well, they're irritated. Well, we need to understand this. It doesn't matter how much power is available to me. It's how much can flow through me. How much can God do through me? We have here, we find out the statements made. If you're faithful in a little bit, you're good, but also be faithful in a lot. If you're faithful in a little bit, faithfulness starts with a little bit. You know, over the years, and you know, I've been a Christian, I've watched people, well, you know, we deal with the areas of tithing and things like that, and people say, well, this poor guy over here, he can't tithe. I'm sorry. God didn't say that somebody had so little that they were exempt from the Bible. You understand this, if we went back over the children of Israel and look at children of Israel, everyone was required. There was requirements. I want to tell you this, just because we're under grace, requirements have not stopped. Requirements have not stopped. There are requirements. You're required of things. They were required to tithe. They also had a temple tax. And everybody had to pay the temple. You didn't pay the temple tax, I'm going to tell you, you were out of the will of God. It wasn't, well, the poor guy can't afford to pay the temple tax. I want you to understand this. If we went over the book of Malachi, I'm not going to go there to read it. It said this. God said to Israel, the reason they were in the trouble that they were in and the problems they were in, He said, "You've robbed God." And how did you rob God? Through your tithes and offerings. Now, he said two things. He didn't just say the tithe. He said tithes and offering. We always stick that over there and just stick it on the tithe. All if I tithe. I'm sorry. Tithes and offerings. And you know what? You can't steal from somebody if it wasn't theirs. You need to understand this. Part of your money is God's and ain't yours. You become a Christian and you think all your money is yours, you're out of the will of God. It's not. Why does God do it? Because God wants to bless you to establish the covenant. And He doesn't do it like the world does. You know, here's what the world does. You know, stock market's going great. They're all down there stuffing their money in, buying these stocks, and half of them ain't no good. But they're out there paying and overpaying for stocks and going to town. And then all of a sudden, everything falls apart. And they say, all these poor people lost their life savings. I cannot lose my life savings. It don't matter if the money in the bank goes. I cannot lose my life savings because it's in Christ Jesus. The righteous will never be forsaken. And my kids are never going to beg for bread. The Bible's true. I don't care what they say about the economy. Everybody else go stay in the soup line. Have a great time. I'm not. They'll bring me sandwiches. Glory to God. You confess what you want and say what you want, but I'm sticking with the Bible. God's Word is true. And we have to come to that place. And see, when you come to the place to start to understand these things, that if Jesus Christ, we were supposed to, when we got saved this way. I know most people didn't. We were supposed to confess Jesus as Lord. Most people just ask God to forgive them of their sin. Most people do, most Christians, and most Spirit-filled Christians do not identify Jesus Christ as Lord. They are the lords of their life. They are the lords of their money. They are the lords of their health. They are the lords of their stuff. That's why we deal with all these problems. We have been untrustworthy. We have not been faithful with our lives. We haven't been faithful. We're not faithful with our lives to give it to the Lord. We're not faithful to give it to look at God and say, man, you're Lord. Is He Lord? Lord means He's the ruler. When I made Jesus, or see, when I was a sinner, I was Lord over my life. I lorded, I did, and I messed up, followed the junk, man, the life of sin and death. I was Lord. When I came to Jesus, I accepted a Lord over my life. Have you ever done that? Many people have it. Well, sometimes we sing these songs and they put in their words, Jesus, Lord. They're just, people think that's like saying Mr. Jesus. It's just a nice little formality that we put on there to be courteous. They thought that Jesus Christ was his last name was Christ. You know, I said most Christians, you know, they have no clue. And see, when we deal, we're talking about faithfulness. Now, he's talking about faithfulness with a little bit. You need to learn this principle. You know, business and stuff and people wouldn't have problems, a lot of problems. We wouldn't have done some of the dumb things we did had we checked out faithfulness before we made statements or put people in positions or done things. Faithfulness. I tell you what, if you don't understand that, you'll raise wacky kids. That's why we got so many wacky kids today. Because children, you don't turn around and give, if your children aren't responsible for what they got, you don't give them no more. You don't give them, well, I want this. Well, you ain't one responsible for the last thing you had. You ain't getting no more. You had a guy one time came here for a church a little while. Came one to talk to me. He had a son who was all kind of trouble. He started to explain to me. He said, my words, he said, my son, he's telling us all these things this kid did. And then he turned around this way. This kid is just disobedient. And I know why he's disobedient. He had a moron for a father. He had an idiot. The father wouldn't follow any disciplinary rules or do, you know, things to the kid. So this kid wouldn't listen or do anything. So he thought he would buy him a BB gun. You know, why didn't you just get him a hand grenade, you idiot? You know, just let him kill a bunch of people. He said, I came home and all the lampshades in the house had BB holes through them. And the guy said to me, what do I do? I said, first get that kid a parent. The first thing you do is get that kid a parent. I said, now this guy seemed a Christian, full of the Holy Ghost. Now I think he was full of a spirit too, other than. But he said, That kid showed no faithfulness and you got him a BB gun? Well, I thought that would maybe, you know, he would learn responsibility. I said, well, that worked out great, didn't it? That just absolutely worked out wonderful. That was a great idea, wasn't it? I don't laugh. Loads of people do that all the time. If somebody's not responsible for a little bit, I want you to understand this. God will never give you more when you are not responsible about what you have. Understand that. God's not going to break His word. God is not like, the Bible tells us, New Testament, like our earthly fathers who disciplines us for their good. He disciplines us for our good. God's not going to back down on the word just because you've got a problem. Just because you refuse to listen. God will let them bury you. He'll let them stick your body in the ground and have you come home because you refuse to listen here. Ooh, well, where's the grace in that? It's the grace on the rest of the people so we don't have to put up with you. It's the grace to the sinner. So they don't have to put up with you. We need to understand so. We mess around and mess around in this area of unfaithfulness and all kinds of things. We find here there's the principle of faithfulness. Faithful and least. That person will be faithful if you give them more. There's a proving ground. God has a proving ground. I said this, I talked this about this before and said before, it's interesting. It's one of the things when the Lord spoke to me about putting me into the ministry. I'd been teaching and preaching and stuff and ministering and things, but I had not, before I went to Bible school, and when I was in Bible school, but the Lord spoke to me. And then my second year, it was the spring of the year, right before graduation. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me at school one day. I'm walking from one classroom, heading to another classroom, had to go over to another building outside. When I went outside and started walking across toward the other building, I was walking across, the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me real clear. He said, because you've been faithful with to do what I've told you to do, and with the other ministries that I've had you work with, he said, because you were faithful, I'm going to put you into your own ministry. See, we need to understand that. If you look over in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, listen what God said to through Paul to Timothy, speaking to Timothy. In the first chapter, verse 12, this is what Paul said, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God can't put you into things till you're proved faithful. He can't put you into things enabled. That word enabled means to give the strength or the power or whatever it is to do it. You might have the Holy Ghost in you. You might have the power. But I'm going to tell you this. It is not all available to you. Because if you took a baby Christian and all of it was just available to him, well, my words, it's like giving a baby an atomic bomb. What do you think's going to happen? He said when he was found faithful, God gave him the power or the strength or the ability then to stand in a position. Once he was proven faithful. See, people think, well, if I get educated or I learn something, God doesn't run on the American educational system. His system is never broken and puts out idiots like ours does. Because God will not send you to second grade when you refuse to learn in first grade. He will not. Isn't this wonderful? I know, it's just exciting, makes you want to jump the pew. But, hallelujah. Folks, this is, I'm sure I'll show you a way. You can step into the power of God. You can step in to a higher revelations and understanding with God if you learn to walk in this principle. This is where I learned. Thank God, I'm glad of the fact because I was raised in a home that taught us some things about faithfulness. You know, one thing in 1 Corinthians 4:2 says this. Listen to what it says. 1 Corinthians 4:2. This sounds real legalistic. Moreover, it is required in a steward that one be found faithful. It's a requirement. It's a requirement. You know what a requirement is? It's something that's required. You know, say if you were going out here, say you went down and say you want to buy a home, and you go down to get a mortgage, and go to a bank or wherever it is, get a mortgage, and they tell you all this here's our requirements for the mortgage. One of the requirements is you have to have 20% down. Let's say they put 20% on it. They do that. Okay, you have to have 20% down on there. You come to settlement day with 10%. You think you're going to have the loan that day? No, why? They have requirements. God has requirements. And this is about a person who is a steward. You will never reach the place of steward till you get faithful. God's not going to entrust people to something. Stewards are people that work for somebody that are entrusted with something. That are entrusted with things. It is a requirement in God that a steward be found faithful. That is a requirement. Faithfulness is not something that you'd like to have, or maybe I want to do this. Faithfulness is a requirement. Now look at this. Go back over to Luke again to the 16th chapter. We're going back there. In verse 10, it told us if you're unjust with a little bit, you'll be unjust with a lot. So where do we start? Here's the thing. We start with what we have. We start with what we have and we begin faithfulness in what we have. Not what we would like to have. I've heard this 1,000 times since I've been in the ministry. People have come to me and said, oh boy, I'll tell you, I'm believing God for a lot of money, and boy, I get a lot of money, I'm going to give you money. Those people never even give you anything. You know, go blow wind. I want to see what you're going to give me when you don't have the million. If you ain't giving me nothing, now I know this. You will never give me anything when you get a lot. The Bible does not lie. Only people do that. You're never going to get me to agree with you when you aren't doing what the Bible said. We ain't in agreement. Believe you or believe Jesus? Boy, that was a hard one. Really going to make me think here, I'll tell you. We're just going to get my brain a-whacking. So therefore, if you have not been faithful with unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches? This is one you need to... How many of you here today, you want to grow up spiritually? Understand this. It's tied to money. How you deal with money determines how far you're going spiritually. The true riches ain't, well, now you're going to get a ton of gold. If you don't grow up spiritually, oh God, don't give them a ton of gold, because they'll be helping the devil's kingdom all they can. We prove out ourselves. We are proved out through money. Money is a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. Hugely powerful. The Bible tells us that the love of it is the root of all evil. In other words, it is easy to make money God. It's easy to do. If you don't grow up spiritually, money can be your God. So this is one of the things. I wanted to learn to develop right. I didn't want to not develop and then have a bunch of money. I saw what had happened to people. I watched people get money and then don't show up at church half the time because they're running here, running there, doing this, having themselves good. They become unfaithful people. People get money, they become unfaithful. If they don't grow up spiritually, you can't count on them at all. In, out, up, down, whatever. Got problems, you know. When they get their problems, then they want to come and talk to you about their problems. But it deals with the area of people money. This is one of the great problems we have in this nation. Financially, we have been so unfaithful to God. The church has been totally unfaithful. The majority of the church would never even think of giving God 3%. Much less, 10% and in offerings. I mean, 3%. But boy, they keep, when they get in trouble, I want to pray. Oh my God, I'm sick now. Pray, I need healed. And if you said to them, how you been doing over in the money area? They'll think, what's wrong with you? You one of those money preachers? Yeah, I'm just like God. He talks about it too. It is amazing over time of people. There's one thing as I found out is in the areas, if you're going to want to walk in divine health, if you want to go to that area, you better become a good steward on the areas of money. Or you will never go to divine health. You'll never go there. Does God have any say over your wallet? See, we'll say, oh God, I got a bill came in, it's $2,000. I need $2,000. Can God ever come to you and say, I need $2,000? Most of the time He can't. Most of the time He can't do that to people. Most of the time He can't come and ask. Especially when you got only $20 to your name and He comes and asks for $5, it's a good chance He ain't getting none of that. Well, I can't do that because I need this. This is the proving ground. Do you want God to ever give you the thousands so you can give the thousands? I'm just telling you, I know how it works. And see, it comes over in the area of faithfulness. Becoming faithful in the area of the money. That I can ask. This is what a covenant is about. A covenant, the blood covenant's about this. Everybody's on the one side of it. I get everything God got. But understand, God, under the covenant made in Jesus Christ, He has everything you have. He has a right to ask you for anything. He has the right to ask you. I know this is true because He asked Abraham for his son. My God, we won't give Him the money. Abraham was willing to give a son, and we wonder why Abraham was blessed? Folks, I'm just telling you about this faithful stuff. You know, we don't have it today. If we're going to reach out to the place that God wants to take us, where He can pour money at an extreme rate to the church is going to have to become extremely faithful. Christians are going to have to become extremely faithful. Hallelujah. Folks, this is good news. This isn't bad stuff. I like this system. Because this system takes me to the place. Understand, faithful in money. Faithful in money leads me to true riches. Do you have peace in your life? If you don't have peace in your life, you haven't got to the true riches. Do you have joy in your life? You've never gotten to the true riches yet. You ain't ever got there. You haven't got there. You want to get there? Well, you can't be over worshiping money. You can't serve two masters. God, stay out of my wallet. I don't believe you can take care of me. Now send me some more. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? See, God gives the power to get wealth. If we don't obey, we don't get the power to get it. You won't even have the power to believe for it. If God doesn't give you the power to do something, your faith won't even work if you try to make it happen. Well, I never heard it taught like that. Well, they ought to read the Bible sometime, those people you were listening to. These scriptures are in the Bible. They're not Ed's idea of the Bible. Hallelujah. It's good preaching. Another, but I'm just telling you, it works. You get a hold of this system and it's God's system. It's God's principles. Faithfulness is a huge, huge, enormous, enormous thing. Faithfulness. And I want to say this about faithfulness. Faithfulness is not just, well, you know, I'm a nice person. I show up to church once in a while. Faithfulness in the areas of finances. Faithfulness is consistency. It isn't sometime give God a tenth, but if something comes up and I need some more money, we don't give Him quite as much. That's not faithfulness. Faithfulness is a consistency in giving. If you're not consistent, you're not faithful. You see, there's ministries and stuff too besides the church. Wanda and I have always been faithful. We started out in a tithe thing and we have been faithful ever since. If there's things that we needed, I have commitments. It's just like that. You need to understand. You know, it's like I said, you know, things that belong to God. You need to understand this. When you go out, say if you have a mortgage payment or you have a car payment or you have electric bills or you have those things, you need to understand something about it. You don't own all your money. They own part of your money. When you sign the agreement with them to pay that bill, that money belongs to them. It don't belong to you. If you use it, you're a thief. I'm just telling you, that's why a lot of Christians can't get things going. Because they constantly steal, and not just from God, but they steal from other people. They make bills and stuff, they don't pay it. You know, all these people out here, these banks ripped them off these loans and they lost their houses. Those people did it. They are as much to blame or more to blame because they signed contracts they knew they could not keep. Just because somebody offers me a lot, don't mean you're supposed to take it. See, we need to get a hold of this stuff. We need to get on. It's our responsibility. When I signed that thing, I said I was going to pay. So when my paycheck comes, that paycheck ain't all mine. Whoever I said I would pay, those portions belong to them. And if I keep it and don't pay, I'm a thief. Well, now the government said, I'm sorry, Christian, you only have one government.
Amen.
If our government we sit under here in this earth is different, listen, you cannot go differently. You have to follow this one. Whose kingdom do you want to help you? Amen. Do you want all the welfare the government can give you? If that's as far as you want to go in life, shame on you. Because you won't go nowhere. All you're going to be wanting to do is steal everybody else's stuff. See, we need to get over and get in line with the Bible. We need to, when I commit to pay for something, when I commit to a ministry to give them money, if I commit to them, then when my paycheck comes, there's part of my paycheck belongs to them. I made a commitment. Well, this month I'm not going to give to them. My word's going to be no good this month. God, I need help. I need more money. He's going to be sitting there looking at you. Yeah, Mr. Faithful, what was that? Mr. Faithful? Excuse me? Mr. Faithful? We've gotten into a lot of trouble. People have gotten themselves in a lot of trouble with unfaithfulness. When you sign for something, you owe somebody's money. And your paycheck, there's part of your paycheck that belongs to them. And if you sold it all away, then it all belongs to them. What are we looking at? Faithfulness. Being a good steward. It's required of a steward. You're a steward over your money. If you're a bad steward, it's not going to lead to God bailing you out. Now, you can get the government to do it because they'll act ungodly. I mean, you'll get these guys down there that'll take all the good people's money and give it to the bad people. And to themselves. All in, we're doing good. Teaching people to be unfaithful. Teaching unfaithfulness and trying to fix a nation. Look, folks, we ain't going to be able to fix the heathen out there. We got to fix the church. We got to fix us. We got to fix us. We don't fix us, we're in trouble. We got to fix us. Hallelujah. Being faithful to God. I want to go over and look at a story Jesus told about faithfulness and money, and I want to go over there and look at Matthew the 25th chapter. I'm not going to read the whole thing. We'll talk about it. You can go and read it then for yourselves and read the whole thing for yourselves. But I want to look at this story because it deals again on money. Why did Jesus tell money stories? We didn't want to hear that. I don't. Well, you're just going to help these money-grabbing preachers. Now, I tell you what, God is owed a part. And if He don't get it, you're going to find that your prayers are going to fall on deaf ears. God don't hear all prayers. God heard all prayers. My God, everybody would be, things would be really working well. God's not going to respond to people. There's people that are going to be, God's totally unresponsive to. We need to understand, we can do things. Why? It's, moreover, it is required in a steward that one be found faithful. Requirement. Jesus, I want to go to second grade, but sorry, you didn't pass first grade. Well, I tried hard. Okay, you get to go. We don't want anybody, you know, we won't use any red ink for check marks. Oh, we'll just go ahead, go to the next grade. Go ahead. It doesn't matter that you're going to be a babbling idiot that everybody's going to have to put up with, calling yourself a Christian, teaching everybody wrong stuff. It don't matter. Faithfulness. Glory to God. Well, in Matthew, the 25th chapter, verse 14 says this. Starts our story, Jesus telling this parable. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling. The kingdom of heaven is like this. In other words, what kingdom are we in? We're in a kingdom of heaven, aren't we? That's our kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like this. In other words, God is like this. This is what God is like. See, I really don't know God well. Well, you should have read the book. You'd have found out. Because it's telling us the kingdom's like this. It's the way God is. He says, like a man traveling to a far country. Jesus is really the picture here of Jesus who called on his servants and delivered his goods to them. That's what Jesus did. Jesus delivered goods to us. When Jesus delivers goods to us, now Jesus is going to want to find out what we do with the goods. What are we doing with the goods? Now listen, he goes over here, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. I want you to see something. That word ability there, do you know that word ability is the word dunamis? It's translated power almost all the time. See, God gives us the what to get wealth, the power to get wealth. Now, what did he give them in giving them power? He gave them the power to get wealth. In other words, this is what he did. He delivered to them, he gave to their own ability, to how much power operated through them. See, everybody don't have the same amount of power because everybody's not in the same spiritual level. Remember what he said over there? You get into the true riches. See, there's 3 stewards. All of them have not developed like they one developed more than another one. And what did God give them? Well, God's always fair. He gave everybody the same. You need to read your Bible. God does not. God will give to you according to that's working in you. See, remember that we read over in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, there's that prayer. There's a prayer over there for the church. And what is it? Listen, and in Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, to what? According to the power that works in us. God can only move through me or do for me according to the power. That's that crazy word dunamis again. That's working in me. The level of dunamis in me. Just because you have the Holy Ghost in you don't mean you got all the dunamis working for you. There's a dunamis knob inside of you. And the Holy Ghost, the more faithful you are, he turns the knob and increases the power. You want more power to get wealth? Start getting faithful where you're at. And the meter starts getting cranked up a little bit more. Gonna turn some more dunamis on you, boy. Why? You have been faithful. Have you ever heard a term taught like this before? It's in the Bible. See, people think, I'm sorry. All this, you just throw a bigger check in, you're gonna get more, is not right. It never has been right. Now, it can be right for you if you fall in line with the Word. But it don't happen just because you throw a big check in. You need to understand that. It requires power. It's just like a seed put in the ground. You can put a seed in the soil and it produces nothing. That soil, what are the ingredients in the soil? What does the soil have in it to help that seed grow? What about water on that thing? What about the atmosphere conditions and everything? It just don't shoot up. You can have the best and throw it in, but there's conditions or requirements that are made for that seed to produce like it should. So farmers go to a whole lot of trouble to try to grow stuff. Why? And they know. If you're a farmer and don't know the requirements of your seed, you're in trouble when it comes harvest time because you ain't going to have much. There's a day you're going to need the power to call something in, and you will not have the power to call it in. You'll be making your confession and saying, yeah, I'm believing God, but you have no power to make it happen. You don't have power to bring it to pass. Unless God turns up the power, it don't work. The power is there, it is available. But how do I make it available to me? Through faithfulness. Each was given according to their ability. So he gave. Now understand this. That means everybody has the ability to follow God with what they got, whether they're money or whatever. They got the ability to where they're at. So when you tell somebody they don't have to be responsible for their finances, they don't have enough, you just told them to disobey God. I will not do that. The worst thing you could ever do is hold back from God what's in His. I'm just going to tell you that. Because the day is going to come, you're going to need help. And I'm going to tell you, not just in money, you'll need help and you'll call and you won't get your help. We can't be, you know, when I worked for East Candy Company, if I didn't show up from work, I couldn't expect to go get a paycheck and find all the days I got paid for I wasn't there. Why Christians think God is different is beyond me. That so you know, you go out here and not follow God half the time, but all of a sudden when you want something, just yell, let's get it. Out here, disobedient, don't do, you know, talk about faith but never walk in it. God expects it. God is looking for faithfulness. Faithfulness. God wants faithfulness. Don't you want faithfulness? Look what faithfulness. I mean, my God. Faithfulness is what makes things work. I mean, I tell you what a blessing in itself. What a blessing. What a blessing. Remember back here, you know, that we read before, it said, if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who is going to give you your own? Have you been faithful concerning the place that you work? Have you been faithful for what they've given you? Have you treated it and honored it right? Do you honor their property right and the things, the responsibility that they give you? Do you honor it? If you don't, you're never going to have your own. He said, who's going to give you your own? You go out here in this world. I mean, any employer would be a complete idiot. You have a person that's not faithful. Let's promote them and, you know, and I say, whoa, that'd be a smart one. A person's not faithful, we're going to promote them. Well, I'm going to tell you what, that sure ain't going to work. But what's my job? My job is where, if I'm employed, is not to worry about what the guy's doing, it's about my faithfulness. I cannot be slack or lax because of their unfaithfulness. If I am, it's going to cost me. My job is always to do what's right. It's always to do what's right. It don't matter if they don't do right. My job is to do right. My job is to honor. Always do right. What is put into my responsibility, treat it as such. It's like, over the years, I've had people lay hands on me concerning things, a ministry and things. Consistently, I've had the word that came to me concerning was faithfulness because of being faithful. Being faithful. You know, if you're not faithful in the hard place, you're never going to find the good place. I'm just telling you that. If you're not faithful in the hard place, you're never going to find faith. You're never going to be faithful in the good place. You get the good place, if you got there, you'd never be faithful in it. See, we have to learn to be, that's one thing as I learned in ministry. Times that things have seemed to be hard. You know, I'll tell you what, if God would say to me, Ed, where do you want to go minister? I'm just going to tell you, I'll be honest, I would leave here immediately. This wasn't my grand idea. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to do the will of God. And I'm not begrudging God about it. This is what my master wants me to do. I'm going to do what my master wants me to do. And I'm going to be here. And this is my place where I can be made wealthy is here. It's in the will of God. I can't be made wealthy someplace else. I can't be wealthy looking over at somebody else's stuff. And look, this is a place God must supply for me here. He has to do it. If he doesn't do it, he is not fit. He would have no right to my stuff if I don't have right to his stuff. And so we want to walk in the light of what's true. So these ones, we find out that these ones, that he gave things. Now he gave, and I wanted to really emphasize that a bit on the ability or the power that worked in each individual. In other words, the place that each one of them, one guy came to place where he was responsible for a little bit, and now he could be made responsible for 5 talents. Now, I was reading what the talent thing was, because you look through and through the ages, talent thing changed. But generally, the talent during Jesus' time period was close to about 130 pounds in weight. See, these were weight measures. And so what they did is they weighed coins. You know, so that's how they did the weight of a coin, and they didn't have a 130-pound coin. But so many coins, some would make up to 130 pounds, whether they were gold, silver, or brass. We don't know. He didn't say whether they were silver or gold. Probably, I would just estimate, probably was gold is what it's talking about here. This is the kingdom of God. So this is a huge, huge amount or sums. Now, we talk about gold today, and what gold's value is astronomical today. But we find out that the master went away and he gave each of these according to their ability. Now the guy that got one, it doesn't work out well for him. It don't work out well. It wasn't because he didn't have the ability, because he did have the ability. He said he gave each one according to their ability. But the one guy just decided to do nothing. He didn't do anything. And God was just so tickled with him and said, it really don't matter. I love all my children and it's going to work out good for you too. That's the way it ends. It ends like that. It don't matter. Everybody gets equal in socialist heaven. I want you to know this. This guy don't even make it to heaven. Because of unfaithfulness. I thought once you're saved, you're always saved. Well, you should have read the Bible. This is one of God's stewards in God's kingdom. This ain't one of the devil's kids. This guy that didn't get it. Verse 28 says, therefore, Jesus was very, very unhappy with him. Because he didn't do it. He took it and hid it. He didn't do nothing with it. He didn't make it. The other guys doubled their stuff. Verse 28 says this to Jesus. This is the king talking to the guy. He said, therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he who will have, abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why many people, the lack of faithfulness, the lack of doing what right, helps people to poverty. That's why we have a lot of poverty in America, because people are in the same situation. Even when they're taking, getting government checks, they're never faithful with it. They don't care or think one thing that I get money and don't ever work or do a thing for it. And they take it and squander it and blow it and don't think a thing up. And just ask for more and ask for more, and I just want to stay on the system. And they wonder why life gets stolen away, why things get, you know, why they can't get good enough health care. Because nobody can afford it, because the devil makes sure they constantly got problems. He's making sure that they constantly got troubles. Now, I'm not against the poor, but I'm against what we've done with the poor. We have promoted poverty in America. America promotes poverty. My God, Americans on welfare don't even know what poverty is. They have no clue. We ought to require every one of our people in government to go to a third world country and they have to live there at least a year, not in a nice place, with the people before we vote them in office. Amen. You know, we'd do it if we wouldn't vote for these scoundrels and put anybody in office. Do you ever think about that? What if the people in America got in and we don't show up and nobody votes? Then nobody gets in office. But we wouldn't do that because we're so fearful that somebody you know, something might happen. So we'll vote for the devil's cousins just not to have Lucifer himself. Good preaching anyway. Listen to what he said to do with that unfaithful steward. He said, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. They'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Huh. Gee, I wonder who that was written to. I didn't know. maybe this part of the Bible don't maybe it's not ours. Maybe this was for somebody else's. I don't. But this is over the thing with faithfulness. And here in the areas of money or what's given. And we look as what we have or what's given to us as the areas of faithfulness. Because if we want to move to something higher, we want to go to something more with God, we got to become faithful where we're at. We got to become faithful where we're at. We got to, right now, establish yourself today. You decide today to walk in faithfulness. Today, I'm going to start being faithful. You can look at things, certain things you haven't been faithful in. Start to set yourself. Why? Because areas that we're unfaithful are areas then that opens the door from the devil to steal, kill, and destroy. It opens up places for us that we're going to end up having problems. I want to look over here in let me read this to you quickly. 2 Timothy 2nd chapter verse 2 says this. And this is what Paul told Timothy then in the second chapter of 2 Timothy. He said, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Faithful men. So you go through all through the scriptures in the New Testament, you find this faithful thing stated. About the, who do you make a teacher? You make a teacher the some guy because he went to Bible school. No, don't. It says God's faithful. I'll tell you what, I'll take a faithful guy who never went to school over a guy who went to school and wasn't faithful. I don't care how somebody, it don't matter to me. I don't care how, you know, Wanda and I had an auto mechanic we used to take our cars to. Actually, it was a relative. And you know what? He proved to be unfaithful. Great mechanic. But you couldn't always be sure if he'd be there working. So you'd take the car down and he'd just, you know, well, I had to go here or there. You know, my kids had a thing and I went to the thing. You said you're going to fix my car. I mean, he's got a garage. And I had enough sense. People say, well, you know, just give him a chance and, you know, he's a relative. And I said, oh, he's unfaithful. I ain't paying some unfaithful guy. We ain't going there. God ain't sending him checks. It ain't either. Dear Lord, let's get squared away here, people. And you know what I do? I looked for a faithful, and we have really a faithful mechanic now. And I tell you what, I like the guy. And you know, I don't even think twice about what he says it would cost to do because he's so faithful, because there's so many unfaithful. Now, somebody faithful gets the job done, works at it. I don't care. I don't care if he went to some big school somewhere or something and he knows all this stuff. He fixes my car. He's honest and he's straight down the line. I like it. He's faithful. You can always count him. His business is open. He ain't run off sometime somewhere, you know, and just, you know. And we need to understand in life. We want to have that from other people, but can they count on you? Can they count on you? Of what you want to have. See, we're trying to have a faithful government in America in a land that is filled with unfaithful people. Demanding what they would never do in their own lives. Oh, I know, I'm just having too much fun. Okay. In Mark the 12th chapter, it says here in verse 41, I'm going to read you a little story, Jesus. Said, this is now in verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor woman came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor woman has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Now, two mites, the term mite really did come from the English word as a mite that they had coined with the quandrian. And what really was, this was probably from different things. People give different, you know, amounts of what things were worth. One of the things is they some of the translations said she had like two mites, or then it was equal to a penny, but it's not like our penny today. They said that this would probably worth maybe somewhere between 25 to 50 cents at that time of its buying power. Not 25 cents of American 25 cents that you could probably flush and never miss it. Worth nothing. You could hardly buy a piece of bubble gum. But they said, really, it was the whole thing. Well, see, they always put this thing over in this lady that is if she just, oh, she just had two almost worthless coins that she threw into there. No, she didn't. Her two coins could have probably provided her food for her and her family for probably 2 days. A little bit different than the stories they usually tell. But understand what she did. This is all she had. Now, you need to understand this. Under the law, she's required to tithe. One thing we know about this lady, I can tell you right up front, this is a faithful lady. This is a faithful lady. See, Jesus sat and watched. In other words, there's something that was said by... what's his name? Dr. Jerriman. He is a pastor of a church in Canada, up in Ontario, Canada, and very wealthy minister. He didn't start off that way. He started off very poor, and God taught him about prosperity, and big giver. I mean, a big giving guy. And he just, you know, God tells him to give something, he just gives it. But he made this statement. I heard he made this. He says God's not interested in big money. He said, God's interested in big percentages. It's about what you got. You need to understand this. I don't care if you come throw a $100,000 check in and you made $1 million and you gave $100,000 to tithe. It meant no more to God than the guy that made $10,000 and $10,000 and put $1,000 in. It's no different to God. No one gave more money. If the amount of money made a difference, what was Jesus talking about? That woman didn't give more. These people that did the giving here, he said, these other ones, they have abundance. They only give out of their abundance. You will never know God's prosperity till you quit giving out of your abundance. Only when you have a lot, then I'll give. Then I'll do this. You got to learn to give. Wanda and I, we learned to give when we didn't have abundance. That's where we were proved our faithfulness. Our faithfulness was proved in those things. When there was things that we needed, but we're required to tithe, we tithe. There was things we promised in giving and we gave that money. We did those things. We were faithful in what we had committed to. We set ourselves to do it. We would pay our bills. We never kept back, no matter it seemed like we needed to keep back. And I will tell you this, by doing that, never once were we ever neglected. Never once did we not have enough. Never once. Because the righteous are never forsaken and their seed never have to beg. Many times it didn't seem like we were going to have it. How are we going to even pay our bills? We didn't even know how we were going to have the money to pay our bills. We couldn't figure out how it worked. And at the end of the month, everything was paid and we all ate good. And I was like, how did that happen? Where did that... But you know what? I mean, when the check would come, the tithing money was coming out. Any offerings, commitments we had made to ministries, being given. Anything that we had committed to do, any bills we had, we honored the places that we owed money to. We made sure they got what they had asked for. And we did those things And in turn, and see, we need to come to that place. The Bible says here in this version, it said that woman gave out of her poverty. When you look up that word, it is really dealing in the areas of a falling short. Could be a want, or many translations translated a need. And I like that, the translation. I think of the majority of translations I looked at, they translated need. In other words, she gave out of her need. This woman needed something. You know, if I need something for God, then I need to get into His program. If you need something, see, we have a system today which is a false system. You have a need, you don't are required to do nothing. You just run down and ask for help. Now, I get that all the time. People call the church and they want help. They have been totally unfaithful. They don't follow walk with God, but they want God's people's money all the time. They always want to get our money, but hate us over, well, taking people's money. Yeah, well, you keep calling for them, you big thief. Well, sure, they do. And they do. Unfaithful people. When the first thing I start talking to people about faithfulness, about what do you do? Do you work or what do you do? Well, no, I'm in between jobs, or I was in this and that and the other thing, and I was working over here, but I tell you, they treated me bad and I left. I said, well, how do you like not eating? Having a good time? Well, you're going to enjoy a little longer. Goodbye. Why? If you don't learn faithfulness and we feed him, you're going to be feeding him for the rest of his life. You're going to be feeding him for the rest of his life. You've got to teach him. You know, it's like a child. Child does something wrong, you don't punish him. I'll tell you what will happen. They'll do it again. And they'll do it again and do it again. Well, we just don't believe in punishment. We don't believe in spanking kids. We don't believe in that. The Bible says use the rod and drive the devil out of them. That's why we got so many adults with devils in them, because it was never drove out of them when they were kids. You know, some devils you don't have to cast out. You can whoop them out of somebody. That's right. The Bible said you drive the devil. Why? People yield to devils. I'm going to tell you what. If you're punished for things and you're punished the way you should be, you ain't going to yield to the devil as easily as you did before. The devil comes and says, let's go do that. You say, shut up, that hood. You never got whooped by my daddy. You would not have gone back for seconds. Daddy never whooped me very often, very few times, but they were all very memorable. And those things I remembered, and I'll tell you, it's amazing how what the devil used to make me do, he couldn't make me do no more. You know, the devil gets a guy not to go to work. You quit feeding him, either he'd go to work or die, one of the two. It's amazing. If the punishment fits, I see people don't today. Now we're trying to bail everybody out. Christianity is always trying to bail everybody out of everything. Let's not hook up with the world system. God has supplied a system for us, and His system works, where you can be guaranteed that you're never going to lack or want. You're never going to... David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. I never saw that happen. I never saw that happen. Hallelujah. Wanda and I started into that system early. We started walking in those things. Started living to practice that system. And we have followed it through till this day. And see, my desire, my great desire, is greater percentage. I need more because I have more vision. The more I want to give to, the more I want to do. So I know how it works. I must increase percentage, not just amount. See, what most people think, well, I gave more because I earned more money last year. If you didn't, your percentage didn't go up, you didn't give a nickel more to God. You didn't give one nickel more to God than the tithe. If you gave 10%. That's all you gave is a tithe. That's what anybody that was tithing did. That means nothing. Now, I have people say this to me. People say, well, should I tithe after taxes or on the net? Well, quit trying to figure out a way to give and out, get out of giving, because your whole spirit's wrong about it. You're trying to, how much the least can I give? If that's the way you're doing it, don't bother tithing. Put the money back in your pocket because you're going to need it. Because you ain't going to have nothing anyhow. We don't say the government, government, wait till I'm done with what I get, then you can tax me. No, we'd bow to the government. Are we scared what they'd do to us? But God, who cares? Who cares about God? I'm only going to either have to spend eternity with Him or without Him. You know, who's God? I see people get over into those ways of thinking. And I don't even want to go there. I would rather overgive than undergive. You know, I always just think of the side. I don't want to hold back. And don't get over there as thinking, because this is what people do. They get into that wrong kind of thinking. They get over in there. What can I do to get by? Well, let me tell you, there's nothing you can do to get by. You can't fool God. If you're just trying to just, I'm only going to do. You know, it's another thing for a baby to do things like that. But you can't grow up spiritually. You will never enter true riches walking in a place like that. You know, I want to give more. That's my desire. I want to give a larger percentage. I'll tell you what. I want to get like those guys that live off of 10% and give 90 away. I want to go there. I am not happy to listen to stories about Ken Copeland's blessing. I want Ed Gibson's blessing. Don't tell me about the other guy that God blessed. Thank God God blessed him. But I'm not enthused by somebody else's just big story. If I can't have it, don't tell me the story. I believe we can have it, but I do believe this. Ed's got to grow up more. Ed has to enter into the true riches. If I want to arrive at that place, I want to set myself a place of destiny. Where do I want to end up? Am I satisfied where I'm at? If you're satisfied where you're at, you have no business asking anybody else to help you financially. I'm just telling you. See, many people say, I'm going to just tithe and do it. I know he says that stuff, but this is what I'm going to do. I just want to let you know. Fine. But your day's going to come, you're going to want something, and God's going to close the door on you. Now you were satisfied there. Now live in that. See how that satisfaction works. See, we have a great part of our nation today of people sitting out here, and they've been living off the government. And they're saying, I have fixed incomes, and we can't. You better get a vision. You better get a vision. You better get a vision from I want to have where I can give greater percentage. There's nothing like I'm living a faithless life concerning my money, but I'm faithful. I am faithful when I'm using my faith. I am faithful when I'm using my faith. I'm putting my trust in God, being faithful to Him. God, I believe you're going to take care of me. I want to come to the place. You know, I want to be able to give more. I want to be able to do more. See, we need to make commitments to God, not just our money and our possessions. Possessions can dominate people and rule people. The rich young ruler, what was his problem? He had a lot of possessions, it said. He had a lot of stuff. See, he served himself. He said, God, I keep all the commandments. My God, the guy was loving money, wasn't loving God. What's the top commandment was? Love the Lord your God. Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God. And he did not. He loved his possessions. He lied to Jesus. He loved his stuff. Because when it came to following Jesus or following the stuff, he said, I'll take the stuff. See you, Jesus. It was a nice talk we had. Have a big time. See you later. We have to commit ourselves in money and possessions. We have to make a commitment, and we have to commit ourselves in entrusting ourselves in others' possessions or other people's things or whom we work for or whatever it is that we're doing, is we treat things properly. We do what's right. You always be honorable. You always do what's right concerning things. Always. Walk in these areas. Why? If we want something better, if you're going to end up in the true riches, what are you doing with what was given to you, or whether it's in your job or whatever? Also in our commitment in the areas of time. It's time. Many people are, when it comes to, are not faithful with their time to God. They're not faithful. You know, people will commit their time. Yeah, I'll go do this or that. Something else comes up. I'm sorry, I'm going to go do this over here. This came up. You know how many times I got to go? I can't do that because, you know, Uncle Harry came to town. And I'm going to be with Uncle Harry. You have a commitment. You're unfaithful. The things of God. I want to say this to you. When your relatives show up, come to church. You can tell them all you want about Jesus, but they know that you love them more than you do God. Because we don't want to interfere with them. We want to keep them happy. Go to church. Say to them, invite them along to church. Say, what I do on Sundays? We go to church. I remember my brother and them, they used to have the family, used to have get together at Christmas, and they would always have the thing. And when it started, it used to start early. And I'd say, yeah, I'm in church. Well, why don't you take a Sunday off? Say, I ain't doing that. Why don't you come to church? Say, we'll get there when we get there. But I'm going to tell you, God do more for me than my family ever thought about doing for me. God has been so much better to me. I like my family, but God's been better than my family ever has been. Say, no, we're not doing that. I'm going to church. That's what I do. Hallelujah. It's about being faithful, folks. It's about setting yourself. See, we can tell anybody anything. They're watching our lives. They know whether we're faithful or not. People see whether we're faithful. People see it, folks. They know. Let's set ourselves. We're having communion this morning. The Lord told me we need to set this time to make a commitment. It's time to make a commitment to faithfulness. It's time to make a commitment to faithfulness. Hallelujah. You know what? Maybe you are committed. Maybe you are faithful. Well, let's just tell Him again. Let's just confirm. You go over in the study, if you've done listening to the things that I've taught on David, how David and Jonathan would recommit themselves to the covenant time and time and time again. Most people never recommit themselves to Christ. Well, I accepted Jesus, 30 years ago. Yeah, you ain't lived for Him for 29 of those. Because you never recommit yourself to anything. We've got to recommit ourselves. Jesus wasn't in the garden. He knew what He was called to do, but He had to go down and commit Himself to it. It wasn't easy. It wasn't pretty. I tell you, sometimes I think about, oh Lord, I don't know if I want to commit to this. My flesh said, let's go do something else. Let's do something else. No, I need to commit. This is the plan and the purpose of God. I know this is the best for me, but my flesh don't always want to go for what's the best. You know? My flesh is like your flesh. It's like electricity. It's seeking the path of least resistance. I want to go the most least painful way. I don't want to have to put up with anything. Get over it. Because in life, you're going to have to one way or the other. I know a guy, and I watched him for 20-some years. And every time God brought him to the place to deal with a certain thing in his life, he'd take off and move away from God. And I watched him. He's like a children of Israel. He'd go back out in the desert again. He'd go out and wander around until after a while he'd want to get back to God. He'd come back to God. Things would start working for him. And then he would get to that place where God was dealing with him about that same thing again. And then he would turn away and go back. I watched him for 20 years, and he's dead today. Never did get it right. Lived a messed up life because he would never commit. He wouldn't commit. God didn't fix it for him because God loved him. God did love him. God loved him dearly. But he had to come to that place to make that change. And one of the biggest things, and I really deal in this area, is the setting. I believe faithfulness is really a start, is a starting place. If I don't commit to faithfulness, then all the things that deal with faithfulness, it don't matter. If I'm not committed to faithfulness, throwing money in an offering container is not going to fix things. It's not going to make it work. You see, this is one of the things that I've always had the problems with because, Minister Stam, God said, in this meeting, if you'll put $1,000 in, He'll do this. And I think, my God, there's people out here never been faithful, and God ain't going to give them 100 times. They ain't getting it. They can say whatever they want out of the deal. They ain't getting it. There's some people out there that are not even in a position to operate in that level. They're not even there in that level. And you don't want them to get a bunch back. You could ruin it. Somebody's not mature enough into a certain level and you give them more or put more. You can ruin them. I worked in a company. I watched them promote people, good people, into positions and promote them into positions they couldn't handle and ruin a good employee. And ruin a good supervisor because they said, well, he was good over here. Let's put him in. He wasn't ready for that position. He wasn't ready for that place and that type of responsibility. Until they're able to, you don't stick somebody in because you're setting them up for defeat. You're setting them up for failure. God will never set you up for failure. He's not going to offer you something that's going to choke you and hurt you. He's going to offer you for the place that you're coming. You're able to. Why? Because if you've been faithful with this, He'll hand you something else that He knows He can handle this. Why? To bring you up to another place. That's what He wants to do. And then when you reach that place, here, now, I'll give you this one. Now you have this. That's what He wants to do. He wants to keep bringing you up. He don't start you off with a $10 faith and hand you a million. That'd never work. My words. He'd never see you again. Like I said last week, you'd be living down in the Bahamas somewhere, or you'd be sitting on a beach somewhere down there at the beach house. I'm serving Jesus. God prospered me, and this is what He wants me to do. See, God's not doing that to people. God doesn't want to do that to people. God wants to bless you. Let's stand to our feet.